you might think. Find out if LASIK is right for you. Call TLC now for a free consultation. 800-978-1515. Be one of the first 50 listeners to call today and get $400 off your all-laser LASIK procedure. That's a savings of $200 per eye. TLC Laser Eye Centers has over 20 years' experience and performed over 2 million procedures. Let our team help you. For your free consultation, call now. 800-978-1515. 800-978-1515. 800-978-1515. Results may vary.
The National Transportation Safety Board is on the ground and investigating after an Amtrak train derailment that killed at least 3 people and injured dozens south of Seattle. Board member Bella Dinzar says they're still trying to talk to those who are operating the train.
We hope to in the next day or two, but unfortunately, all of the crew was hospitalized, so we want to make sure that they feel well enough to be interviewed.
Republican congressmen are urging folks to take a look into a report that the Obama administration held up a Drug Enforcement Administration Task Force investigation into Hezbollah's drug trafficking and money laundering operations. Congressman Trey Gowdy is the House Oversight Committee chairman. He joined Fox News to discuss what this means, if true.
It's an incredible allegation that any administration would ignore one terrorist group because you were trying to curry favor with another terrorist group. It is incendiary. It is worthy of investigation across several different committees of Congress.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hey, it's Brandon. For years, I couldn't get to sleep, and then I found MyPillow, and my sleep trouble went away. MyPillow works, and if you care about getting a good night's sleep, you'll get one today. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-951-8175 and ask for the radio listener special. Use promo code USA, and you will now get 50% off of 2 MyPillow premium pillows and 2 go-anywhere pillows. Call 800-951-8175 or go to MyPillow.com and use promo code USA to get this unbelievable offer. Don't lose another night of good sleep.
Officials with the Mideast Forum are supporting the sovereign right of the United States to determine where and whether to establish an embassy. USA Radio Network's John Clemens has the details.
When the U.S. exercised its veto power over a resolution introduced by Egypt at the UN that challenged the right of President Trump to declare Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, Ambassador Nikki Haley said the Security Council vote will not soon be forgotten. Greg Roman is director of the Middle East Forum.
Ambassador Nikki Haley called it an insult to the U.S.'s ability to make its own decisions. And I think the Palestinians are now going to face the full brunt of Trump's wrath if they continue these measures at the UN and other international organizations. It does not bode well for Mahmoud Abbas or the Palestinian Authority.
As the Thomas fire rages on, scientists are now looking into what effect the fire is having on nearby marine life. Mike Watts reports.
The Thomas fire in Ventura and Santa Barbara counties has caused devastation on land, and now scientists are looking into what havoc it's wreaking in the ocean. A research ship out of UC San Diego's Scripps Institution of Oceanography is now in the Santa Barbara Channel. Student researchers say they plan to study the ash falling into the ocean from the fire. They believe that ash could lead to elevated levels of pollution in the fish taken from the ocean that eventually make their way to our kitchen tables. Results from the study could take months.
There's one word that's so annoying it made the most annoying word list for 9 straight years. That word? Whatever. That's right. Whatever is despised by 33% of Americans. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Who are the Frontlines of Freedom team? Really appreciate you joining us this fine day in America. Here's what we have for you this hour. First, we're going to talk with the Travis Mannion Foundation. They do wonderful things around our nation. It's a group that's growing, and you're going to love hearing about them. Then Tony Pascelli will share about his interesting book, The Marine Corps Way of War. This is a serious book with some really good ideas for people who are in combat. And we absolutely will review last weekend's fantastic Army-Navy football game. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our Armed America report. Now it's time to discuss the Travis Mannion Foundation. And joining us now is Janaea Nash, the Southeast Regional Director. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom, Janaea.
Thank you, Danny. I appreciate you having me.
You're an Army vet. When, where, how, why did you serve?
I was commissioned after graduating from the United States Military Academy in 2003. I served for 6 years in the Army with one deployment to Iraq. I have a history of military service with my dad serving for 25 years in the Marine Corps. Many times people can join me and ask me why I joined the Army versus the Navy, and I tell them swimming definitely had a lot to do with it. But it was a great opportunity to wear the uniform and serve my country and continue in that line of work thereafter.
Well, I appreciate that. And I also suspect that back earlier this month when Army beat Navy, you took some pleasure in that.
It was a great victory. Now we have a winning streak going, so let's keep it up.
We do. Okay. How did you, when you got out of the service, how did you hear about, get involved with the foundation? How'd that happen?
I transitioned out of the military in 2009, and when I did so, I had a couple opportunities to work in the federal government and also retail management. During that time, I really missed the camaraderie of the military community and giving back and tangibly being able to touch the lives of others. And so I was afforded an opportunity to work with a veteran service organization, and that's when I first heard about the Travis Mannion Foundation. I was truly impressed with what they did with regards to engaging veterans and surviving families in service and also inspired civilians. And I began volunteering with them soon thereafter as an ambassador, which basically means that I served as a mentor with kids and talking about what it means to have character and to be a servant leader and doing community service projects with them. So with my transition out of the corporate sector, I just became very immersed in the veteran service space, and the Travis Mannion Foundation stood out among the best of those organizations.
You know, it's my observation about the foundation. There are people that talk the talk, and there are people that walk the walk. I think the Travis Mannion Foundation doesn't talk the talk. They walk the walk. But because they don't talk the talk, nobody knows about them. I've been in the military over 50 years, and it's only recently that I've heard anything about them. Is this a really, I'm sure it's not intentionally a well-kept secret?
No, it's definitely not intentional. The foundation was originally focused on the Philadelphia region because that was the home of the Travis Mannion, who the foundation is named after. And so the family really focused on engaging veterans and survivors in that area. And you're right, over the past few years, 3 to 5 years, it really looked to reach out and have more of a national exposure. And our growth and potential for growth and expansion has continued to burst at the seams over the last 18 months to 2 years. So we have always walked the walk, like you said, and now you'll start hearing again more information about what we're doing in communities and how people can get involved. The Travis Mannion Foundation is about redeveloping and forming and improving the character of our future generations. We know that the more that we talk about what we do and the successful stories, that we'll be able to help redefine our national character.
And wow, is that important. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom. We're discussing the Travis Mannion Foundation with Army vet Janaya Nash. Talk to us about Travis. Let's start at the beginning with the man.
So First Lieutenant Travis Mannion served in the United States Marine Corps. He was actually commissioned after graduating from the United States Naval Academy. And Travis had went on a couple of deployments during his time of service. And in 2007, he was killed in Iraq while saving his wounded teammate. Travis's legacy is really focuses on his final deployment being if not me, then who. He was attending a Philadelphia Eagles game right before he was going out for his second deployment, and he was having his kind of departing time spent with family and friends when they asked him, you know, Travis, why can't somebody else go? Why do you have to go again? And which his response was, if not me, then who? And that's really what the foundation leans all of its messaging on and the work that we do in the community. If you don't do it, then who will? And so that's how we ensure that Travis's legacy continues, but also ensuring that our future generations and our youth understand that at any time in their life, they can make a difference. It doesn't have to be a certain age, demographic. You don't have to have a certain socioeconomic background. Anyone can make a difference if you stand up for what's right. And again, in a very, divisive culture and some of the things that we've been seeing in the news and in communities, this is the time where we really need to rally around that mantra of if not me, then who.
Wow. What was Travis's family? Was he from a military family like you had a lot of military family members, or was he the first one of his?
Yes. His dad also served, and he also had other relatives that served in the military. His dad served in the Marine Corps also.
Okay. So the foundation was established to pick up that attitude and carry it forward, not just for the time being, but into the future. And it originally started in the Philadelphia area because that's where the family is. But now you're growing beyond that?
Yes, we are a national organization. With offices as far as San Diego, we have offices in the Northeast, Houston, we have Chicago, Atlanta. We have definitely a breadth of connections and inspire civilians, veterans, and survivors that are connected with us through our various programs and a way to engage in the community.
Okay. So this is something that everybody in America can plug into. I would suspect that if a family, a group, somewhere not in the state where you've got something, there's an online way people can plug in and make things happen.
Of course. So if you go to our website, www.travismannion.org, at the very top right-hand side, there's a button that says Join the Mission. Anyone who connects with us through our website receive information with regards to how they can get involved in their local communities, whether it's a 9/11 Heroes Run that takes place each year, joining a committee and leading that run, or maybe an Operation Legacy project, which is coming up with a service project in honor of a fallen hero, and that takes place twice a year in April and November, or also serving as a mentor for local youth, for our veterans and our surviving family members, if they are looking to serve as an ambassador and kind of being that one-on-one example with our community youth. So there are numerous ways for individuals to get involved at all levels, within all communities. So I just challenge everyone to, if you are feeling passionate and wanting to commit to improving our national character, then please go to our website and join the mission.
And to that I say amen. That's one of the best things you can do to move yourself and help move your community forward. Janaya, thank you for taking time to join us today. Thank you for your service to our nation, but thank you especially for what you're doing now working with the Travis Mannion Foundation. This is something that will make America great. Thank you.
Thank you, Danny, for the opportunity. And again, I implore all of your listeners and those out there in the world to be a part of the solution. Again, with all of the divisiveness, this is a way for us to come together, to build character, to serve selflessly, and become a part of the solution for a lot of our issues. So thank you again for the opportunity to share about the Travis Mannion Foundation.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Next up, we'll discuss the Marine Corps way of war. Then we'll review the great Army-Navy game. You've reported for duty to Front Lines of Freedom. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom. Troops, hit the deck right now. Do an easy, slow 35 one-handed push-ups with each hand. I want you to lean and mean. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I want to share about an incredible program available for our veterans across America who are suffering from PTS and traumatic brain injury. It's called After the Impact, and it serves our veterans and NFL football players. You know, it all started at the Eisenhower Center in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and is now expanded to a new facility in Jacksonville, Florida. After the Impact provides real treatment and healing in a transitional residential setting. See more about their facilities for veterans and players at EisenhowerCenter.com.
This is Marine Vet Skip Correa with your Home Defense Tip of the Week. One item you should keep in your bedroom at all times is a military-grade high-lumen flashlight. I've raised four teenagers, and I've learned that just because someone's sneaking in your window at 2 a.m. doesn't mean you want to shoot them. That bright flashlight will immediately blind the invader and readily identify whether they are friend or foe. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit HomeDefenseShow.com.
This is a special alert to consumers who owe back taxes to the IRS.
Due to the financial hardship consumers are facing during the decline in the U.S. economy, the Internal Revenue Service has made it easier to settle tax problems. An open phone line has been established by National Tax Relief. Grab a pen or put this number in your cell phone, but call 1-800-210-0311 today. That's 1-800-210-0311. When you call, you'll get information and see if you qualify. If you owe back taxes to the IRS and can't afford to pay them back, there's no need to fear anymore. You may qualify for a program that could settle your tax problems and save you money. For free information and to see if you qualify, call National Tax Relief today at 1-800-210-0311. That's 1-800-210-0311. 1-800-210-0311.
Are you in business, not a member of the chamber? Come to the Hunterdon County Chamber Expo to see what it's all about and meet other business owners. Enjoy the restaurant showcase and enter to win the door prize just for business entries. The chamber offers special benefits for new memberships during the expo. So join us at Next Level Arena on Case Boulevard in Flemington on Thursday, November 9th from 2 to 7 p.m. Don't miss it.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms. When they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thanks for joining us today on Front Lines of Freedom. We're now going to take a look at the Marine Corps Way of War. Tony Pacelli wrote a book with that title. Very interesting book, too. Welcome to Front Lines of Freedom, Tony.
Thank you for having me.
Tony, you were involved in a different kind of Marine when you were when you served our nation, weren't you?
It's still active. I hold Merchant Marine Master's papers. I'm a mariner.
Oh, okay. So This is not ancient history. This is current. This is what you do.
Yes, sir.
Okay. When somebody says Marine, that's not normally what they think, but the Merchant Marine Academy is a service academy. The Merchant Marine keeps us alive as much as everybody else. So with that as a background, you must know something about the United States Marines because you wrote a book about them.
My stepson served during the Gulf War, and when I had my own operation, I had a fair number of Marines both working for the company as well as on the board of directors. Two in particular, Pat Garvey and General Al Gray, the 29th Commandant of the Marine Corps, was my mentor.
Well, I'd say that qualifies as having some insights into the way the Marines can and should do things.
Well, what's interesting today, a number of the United States Marines that came through the process were mentored by Al Gray, the current Secretary of Defense, General Mattis, who helped me with the book, is a maneuverist, as is the current John Kelly at the White House, Chief of Staff. They all contributed to the book and to the story of a transition. This started as my doctorate in war studies because I guess the press misguidedly called this a revolution in military affairs, which it wasn't. What my thesis proved out was that it wasn't a revolution but a continuing evolution within the Marine Corps that had it changed its main focus of effort from attrition warfare of Vietnam, Korea, World War II, World War I, to a thinking Marines position where it wasn't the body count nor the carnage or the treasure spent, but faster, quicker ways to bring events to a quick close successfully for the Marine Corps.
Well, I know what you're talking about. I wasn't a Marine, but I was in the Army doing the same thing. And that is something that absolutely, well, people on the ground tend to want to see that kind of change made because it's more likely to bring success and more likely to reduce casualties. Is that your perspective too?
Absolutely. In fact, there are a couple of people who contributed to the concept of changing the way we fought. One of them, a very famous conservative, non-military type, Bill Lynn, felt that we should move to a German-style maneuver warfare along with abandoning the attritionist approach, which goes back to probably our own Civil War. Grant was a big proponent of carnage. He would fight to the last man and keep on fighting. He didn't care because he had an unlimited supply of manpower.
Yes.
So, you know, that takes its toll educationally within the military from Napoleon to John Jomini to von Clausewitz to attritional warfare during a civil war. World War One. We entered at the very end of it only to see 1,500 Marines die at Belle of Wood in one day. We move into World War Two. There were plenty of bloodbaths that were taking place because of the mentality of what was taught at the academies was this attritional keep on going until you beat them, as opposed to fighting smarter, which came out of the seeds that were sown in Vietnam. A fellow named Michael Wiley was probably an unsung hero here, along with General Gray at the time. When they came out of Vietnam, they knew what they didn't want. They tried to figure out what they did want. And that's when a confluence of events, or some people like to call it the perfect storm, arises. Congress is trying to figure out why we did so poorly, which we didn't, but that's another story, in Vietnam. And they're looking to downsize, which we've done after every major war we've been in, because we don't want soldiers of any stripe or kind hanging around our democracy. And when the next crisis comes up, we've got to revamp it all up and keep on going and start over again, then downsize. And we're in the throes of it today with the Trump administration trying to find a way to be successful on the battlefield and have it not cost so much money and blood and treasure, as you've alluded to.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with Tony Pacelli about his interesting book, The Marine Corps Way of War. So this is an advocacy for the Marine Corps, which apparently a lot of very senior Marines believe in or agree with, and nothing's perfect, but it's a new way of approaching things, thinking through things with a goal of being more efficient and saving lives and still succeeding with beating the enemy. And the number one thing's got to be beat the enemy. But the number two thing is minimize costs.
Well, the interesting part, we also, by bringing our conflicts to a speedy close, show some mercy to the enemy.
Because
we limit their wounded in action, killed in action, spent money, et cetera, by bringing these to a quick close. People laughed at George Bush, the younger, when he claimed that mission accomplished. By the standards within the parameters of military history, yeah, we were done. Where we erred, best terms I can think of at the moment, was we didn't take into account the political complexities of what Iraq was as a nation state. And when it got out of hand, we got sucked into a long, drawn-out, but not costly in terms of life being expended or men being maimed and wounded. The numbers are just validate the whole idea of maneuver warfare. The Army had the opportunity to go along with the Marine Corps in 1980, and they opted not to. Not that we're putting a grade on anything. The Army, as Bill Lynn has alluded to, they do one thing, and they do it very, very well. Don't change the menu. Well, maneuver warfare gives you an option of changing the menu ad hoc as needed. So the successes we finally saw in Iraq and Afghanistan, well, because we had maneuverers, Mattis, Kelly, Dunford, Nella, the current commandant, they're maneuverers by avocation because they saw the values within the system.
Talk to us about where can people get a copy of the Marine Corps Way of War?
Well, you got a couple of options. It's for sale at Barnes & Noble, and it's also on Amazon at a reduced rate. And they can go directly to the publisher for signed editions, etc. I think Barnes & Noble also has signed editions in all their stores.
Well, folks, we're going to give away a copy of this book at the end of the show. So if you feel lucky, hang on for that. Either way, this is a book you want to read. If understanding war, and we're not believing we're going to have plenty of war in the coming generations, you want to read this book. Tony, thank you for taking time to join us today, and thank you for your service to our nation. This is a book that people need to read.
I appreciate the opportunity to promote it, and God bless America.
Coming up next on Front Lines of Freedom, it's time to review last week's Army-Navy football game. Then we'll open our weekly mailbag. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Troops do 25 pull-ups, all the way up and all the way down, nice and slow, really slow. Then take a break and do 20 more, then stand at ease, but stay in the area. I'll be right back. As we enter the holiday season and prepare to spend time with family and friends, we at Spartan Nash wish you all the best.
We know that not all our service members can be with their loved ones during the holidays. Through our MDV Military Division, Spartan Nash is the leading distributor of grocery products to U.S. military commissaries around the world. It's our privilege to deliver a slice of home to our heroes.
Wherever you spend the holidays this year, we at Spartan Nash MDV thank you for your service and send you our best wishes.
For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes at Homes for Our Troops. And thanks to our donors and supporters, this life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit HFOTUSA.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
USA Radio News.
Look, when you have a sling fest, a mud fest on TV, when pundits are slamming each other about this tax bill before it passes, that's what's going to happen. But when we get this done, when people see their withholding improving, when they see the jobs occurring, when they see bigger paychecks, a fair tax system, a simpler tax code, that's what's going to produce the results. Results are going to make this popular.
House Speaker Paul Ryan earlier today in his Capitol Hill briefing. The House will be voting this afternoon on their portion of the bill, and likewise the Senate will be voting tonight, as Senator Mitch McConnell confirmed they will be voting on the GOP tax bill. Congressman Ryan also addressed the rumors that he may be retiring.
I am not going anywhere anytime soon, and just let's leave that thing at that.
Meanwhile, the House Democratic leader Nancy Pelosi said the big Republican tax bill will hurt American families but help corporations and the 1%. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hey guys, this is Larry King. Are you sick and tired of prostate pills that don't work? I've got great news for you. I had prostate problems that were driving me nuts. I tried several different natural products. None of them worked. One day I heard about Prostagenics. It beat over 157 other prostate supplements in independent lab tests and was rated number one most powerful prostate supplement in the world. So I got some Prostagenics, and boy, am I glad I did. Now my prostate troubles are a thing of the past. I sleep like a champ. I feel like I did 20 years ago. Do yourself a huge favor. Do what I did and get yourself some Prostagenics.
Prostagenics sells for $49 in stores. But call right now, because we're letting as many men as possible try Prostagenics with our free bottle offer. So call 1-800-550-4512 right now. That's 1-800-550-4512. Call 1-800-550-4512.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Welcome back to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Troops, I really do welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com or comment on Facebook. A Frontlines of Freedom salute to one of our show's great sponsors, Honor and Remember, and their national sponsor, Spartan Nash. If you know someone who has died while serving our nation, contact Honor and Remember so they can be honored. HonorandRemember.org. Well, troops, the Army, Navy, and Air Force football seasons are over officially. Last week's Army-Navy game was the final game of the season, except, of course, for some bowl games coming up. Joining me now is our football co-host, Quentin Roberts. Howdy, bro. This is a fun weekend for me.
I know it is, Denny. And as we know, my prediction came to fruition.
That's right. Your crystal ball gets a gold star.
That's right, Denny. As Army, the Black Knights defeated the Midshipmen of Navy 14-13, keeping your streak alive of Army winning whenever you are in attendance.
No, it's not quite that, Quentin. I need to instruct you on this. This was the seventh Army-Navy game I have attended in person. The first four, I was a cadet, and we lost every game.
Okay.
The fifth one was on my honeymoon with my wife, and we won. The sixth one was last year on our 50th anniversary. I was there with my wife, and we won. And this time, I was there with – so it's Maryland's presence with me that brings victory.
Well, Denny, I hate to even drill it down a little further, but it sounds like it's just Maryland's presence, period. But we'll say this to you.
Well, you know, one of my West Point classmates, matter of fact, a former roommate, emailed me and said, well, I was a cadet with you, and so we lost all 4 years. And the 3 years you were there with Maryland and won, I wasn't there. So maybe I was the bad luck, not Maryland the good luck. So whatever.
That's right. Well, regardless, Denny, I tell you what, the Black Knights won a thriller. They finished, capped off a season at 9-3. They won the Commander-in-Chief's Trophy, the first Commander-in-Chief's Trophy that Army has won since 1996. Again, you know, it's a big-time salute to Coach Jeff Monken for taking this team, turning around a program that had certainly struggled in previous years. Another thing that he did is he had the first back-to-back winning seasons since the 90s as well. So,
yes.
You know, this has been a real, real turnaround. And a big-time salute to Coach Monken. And as we review the game, it was played in front of 68,625 partisan fans in Philadelphia. Army opened the scoring. They took the opening kickoff, 11 plays, 68 yards for a textbook Army drive, capped off by Darnell Woolfolk, 3-yard touchdown run. Navy came back, and they kind of dominated the middle part of the game. They came back with a field goal. Then Malcolm Perry broke off a 68-yard touchdown run, and Bennett Mooring hit a 24-yard field goal in the third quarter for Navy to go up 13-7. But it seemed, Denny, as in the second half, Army really found something. They began really getting a lot of good push up front. Ahmad Bradshaw scored with 5:10 left to go in the game. Another 13-play, 65-yard drive to go up 14-13. But Navy was not done. They drove the ball down to the 25-yard line of Army with about 3 seconds left to go, and then had back-to-back or illegal procedure penalties that backed them up 10 yards. And then it was time for the field goal. The kicker, Bennett Mooring, who had hit 2 field goals previously, came out for a 48-yarder instead of a 38-yarder, pulled it just left as time expired, and Army held on for the victory 14-13.
Yes, it was rather exciting when they were going for that one kick towards the end, but frankly, you had to stay involved with this game all the way. Nobody had it locked at any point. Navy came close to a couple of scoring a couple of other times. Army came close to scoring a couple of other times. It was anybody's game. And kicking-wise, each kicker only missed one kick, but they were pretty vital.
They were, and points were just hard to come by in those conditions. You know, it looked more like a real throwback game. There were 3 passes total that were attempted in the game. And Army overcame a tremendous effort by Navy's quarterback, Malcolm Perry, who had 30 carries for 250 yards. So, you know, despite that, neither team had any turnovers. And penalties were really at a minimum. But those two for Navy at the end were really a killer. And Army was able to hold on, and they have a lot of momentum going into their bowl game.
They really do. And to say that we were pleased is an understatement. My wife and I and my son were there enjoying the heck out of it, cheering, yelling, doing all the things, acting like we were 4 years old and just had a ball. When the game was over, my son was down on the field before I could say Jimmy Crackhorn. And, I mean, it was just, we went crazy there. It was a fun time. It was everything Army-Navy game should be.
That's right, Denny. And looked like it on TV. And let me tell you, it was the highest-rated Army-Navy game in six, I want to say 6 years or since 1994 as well. So it was, a real thriller. The fact that it was close, I think, kept everybody's interest from around the country. I know I was locked into it. And as I said, now Army goes in. They have a bowl game against San Diego State. They're going to play in a Lockheed Martin Armed Forces Bowl on December 23rd at 3:30. And Navy also is going to play the University of Virginia in the Military Bowl. That's going to, let's see here. Do I have the date for that one? Let me try to pull that up. But they're going to play the University of Virginia. Navy finishes 6-6. But unfortunately, they went 1-6 down the stretch. They started off 5-0 and then went 1-6 to end up 6-6. So they had some injuries, but they kind of limped towards the finish line and hopefully can end up beating University of Virginia. It's December 28th at 1:30 p.m. That they play that game. And the Air Force, of course, is already on the recruiting trail because they're not going anywhere at all. So hopefully they're out there getting better, getting some more talent so we can compete. Because 5-7 just isn't going to cut it, Danny.
Nope. We all land there every once in a while, but we sure don't want to stay there.
That's right. Especially watching our brethren, have victories and shut us out. That's not good.
Well, you will understand that Army has had plenty of practice doing that.
That's right. Like you say, we all land there at some point, you know. You play the game long enough sometimes. As my dad used to say, some days chicken, some days feathers. Some days you're going to just get those feathers.
Well, and it's going to happen. And again, it's every one of those kids on that field, as well as when Army and Navy played Air Force, every one of them was there and would give their lives to defend the freedoms of everybody who was watching them. And that's one of the big differences. We are brothers and sisters together. my wife and I were out with our son and his girlfriend the other night, and she's a Michigan State fan. We're Michigan fans, and we were kidding about that, and I mentioned that I do occasionally root for Michigan State because it's sometimes my fifth favorite. My first favorite is Army. My second favorite is Navy. My third favorite is Air Force. There's a big gap, and then there's Michigan. And then the fourth place is anybody playing Ohio State. And sometimes
there you go. There you go. That's right. I'm with you on that, Denny. I'm with you.
When Army, Navy, and Air Force is playing, I'm cheering for them. We are brothers.
Right.
There's no question. There's no anything about it. And I love it. And, boy, could you feel it last Saturday. Oh, my goodness. It was there.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome, Denny. That really is. So congratulations to you. Tell Maryland, keep on going. All right? And we're going to see how it lines up for next year after a while here.
Yeah, I understand it's going to be in Philadelphia again next year. We need to check on that because I'm certainly going. But I thought it went back and forth between Baltimore and Philadelphia, but that's one.
Actually, Philadelphia has the game for the next 3 years, and then it will go to East Rutherford, New Jersey, in the Meadowlands, or MetLife Stadium now.
Huh.
And then in 2022, it will return to Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia.
Okay. I'm glad you know that. Well, that's why you're involved. That's why you're the football co-host. You're supposed to know that stuff. Quentin, thank you. We'll be on one more time when we review the bowl games this year, and then you get several months off.
All right, Denny. Sounds good. Hey, congrats again, Denny. Talk to you soon.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Next up, it's time for our weekly mailbag. Then it's military history time. You have reported for duty to Front Lines of Freedom. Stand tall, troops. Get a bench and some good weights. 50 pounds should do it. And do about 50 bench presses. I want you combat ready. Then stand at ease.
This report is brought to you by GSK. Cases and outbreaks of meningococcal disease, or meningitis, continue to be reported on college campuses in the United States. Teens and young adults attending college are at increased risk for meningitis because infectious diseases tend to spread wherever large groups of people gather together. Jamie Shanbaum, U.S. para-athlete, meningitis survivor, and GSK spokesperson.
I was in my first semester at my dream college when I got sick. What I first thought was a flu turned out to be meningitis. I was in the hospital for 7 months, lost all 10 of my fingers, and had both legs amputated below the knee. I didn't know that meningitis could lead to that.
Although uncommon, meningitis can be fatal or cause disability, sometimes within 24 hours. In the United States, 1 in 10 of those who contract it will die, and 1 in 5 survivors will suffer lifelong impact. With many teens and young adults home for the holidays, take 5 minutes to talk to a doctor about the 2 different types of vaccines that help protect against the 5 vaccine-preventable groups of meningitis. Learn more at meningitis.com.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own.
Then I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this week on Front Lines of Freedom. Okay, team, let's open the mailbag. I welcome comments from you, our listeners. Please send your thoughts to me at danny@frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Facebook. Skip, what's first?
Pete from Ohio noted that you had Dr. Tick on and then the lady from Heroes to Heroes, both taking hurt vets on trips for healing. Is that the secret to healing? How about counseling and involvement with fellow vets?
Great question, Pete. We're all different. Our experiences are different, and how we process hurtful things is also different. Something that bothers you may not bother me or not as much. Thus, whatever helps healing will vary from person to person. For many vets, no help is needed. Others find counseling useful. For some, it takes a trip. Different strokes for different folks.
Mary wrote that her son is in the Navy and may be making a career of it. She was interested in the comments about the new retirement program for our military. She wants to know if her son will be briefed on it.
Mary, I sure hope so, but I have no idea. I'd encourage you to tell him about it and suggest he inquire about it. Well, you know, gents, before we get to military history, I was thinking about Fort Knox, which was then the Army's armor school. A good friend of mine was stationed there a few years after I left. The Army had been working on a brand new tank. There had been cost overruns and all kinds of problems. The media was calling on the Army to junk the tank, and then, bang, everything worked. The final fixes on the tank were all that were needed, and that baby rocked. About 10 tanks had been out in the field at Fort Knox for a couple of weeks doing a final test. They were coming in that day. Everything worked perfectly, well, relatively so. The media was notified, and my friend was assigned to escort a TV anchorman and his cameraman. They had a tank that was just coming in from the field test pull up so they could see it. The anchorman stood on the back deck of the tank and began speaking. Basically, what he said was that this tank is a piece of junk, overpriced, and nothing worked on it. The tank commander, who was just a few feet from him on the tank, turned to him and said, "Excuse me, sir, what you just said is wrong. This tank works great." The anchor had the camera turned off and turned to the sergeant. He was very nice. He told the sergeant that, just like in the Army, he had senior people that he reported to, and he did what they told him to. And the anchor said he was told to come here and say this tank was a piece of junk, and that's what he was going to do. The sergeant's response was, "Get off my tank." He did get off. My friend wasn't sure how the anchor got off the tank because my buddy was laying on the ground laughing so hard.
Imagine that, Colonel. That could be the first piece of fake news ever recorded.
Or maybe it was the first honest anchorman.
It could be off the record, though.
Off the record. Well, now it's time for military history. Lead out, Skip.
On 22 December 1775, the Continental Congress created a Continental Navy, naming Essex Hopkins as Commander-in-Chief of the Fleet. Congress also named four captains to the new service: Dudley Saltonstall, Abraham Whipple, Nicholas Biddle, and John Hopkins. Their respective vessels, the Alfred, Columbus, Andrew Doria, and Cabot, became the first ships of the Navy's fleet. Five first lieutenants, including future American hero John Paul Jones, five second lieutenants, and three third lieutenants also received their commissions.
I guess we should say happy birthday to the Navy.
We should. And third lieutenants, we don't have those anymore, do we?
No, things have changed a lot. On 21 December 1861, Congress authorized the Medal of Honor to be awarded to Navy personnel who had distinguished themselves by gallantry in action. The Navy and Marine Corps' Medal of Honor is our country's oldest continually awarded decoration. It was created for enlisted men on 16 December 1861. The next year, the Army became eligible to receive it, too. In 1915, naval officers became eligible for the award. Although originally awarded for both combat and non-combat heroism, the Medal of Honor today is presented for conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity at the risk of life above and beyond the call of duty. The design is rooted in the Civil War. The central motif is the allegory in which Columbia, in the form of the goddess Minerva, uses the shield of the Republic to pull down the figure of Discord, a plainly reference to the unfolding split in our nation. The design is encircled by 38 stars representing the states of the Union at the time of the outbreak of the Civil War.
On 22 December 1862, during the Civil War, Union General William Sherman presented the city of Savannah, Georgia, to President Lincoln. Sherman captured Georgia's largest city after his famous March to the Sea from Atlanta. Savannah had been one of the last major ports that remained open to the Confederates. Sherman captured Atlanta in September 1864. In November, he headed south and east across Georgia. Along the way, his troops destroyed nearly everything that lay in their path. Sherman's intent was to wreck the morale of the South and bring the war to a swift end. For nearly 6 weeks, nothing was heard from Sherman's army. Finally, just before Christmas, word arrived that Sherman's army was outside Savannah. Sherman wired Lincoln with a message, "I beg to present you, as a Christmas gift, the city of Savannah, with 150 heavy guns and plenty of ammunition, and also about 25,000 bales of cotton."
Well, I wonder if that's sort of sticking in your ears so the cannons won't hurt your ears.
That's quite a Christmas present.
It is. I wonder if they were wrapped.
I doubt it.
And that's American history for today. Skip, it's time for the Armed America Report. Lead us on, bro.
All of us here at Front Lines of Freedom want our listeners to get trained and get armed in that order. We fully support the right to keep and bear arms for all law-abiding families, and we encourage you to find out about the laws governing use of deadly force in your state and follow them to the letter. And, of course, don't forget to follow the rules of safety and common sense whenever you're carrying a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
Well, Little Rock, Arkansas police were searching for a suspected robber whose theft was thwarted because his would-be victim, a 57-year-old woman, pulled a gun and shooed him away. The armed citizen probably thought the prospect of being accosted in broad daylight was slim, but that doesn't mean she wasn't glad she was carrying her handgun in her purse that day that she went grocery shopping. As she was trying to unlock her car to load up her groceries, a strange man approached and made a grab for her purse. Before the thief could get it off her shoulders, she withdrew her concealed carry handgun. The mere sight of the gun was enough to send the bad guy running.
Thanks, Colonel. That age-old saying, "Hell hath no fury like a woman scorned," is true. But it takes on a whole new meaning when the woman scorned is pointing a gun at you, as this purse snatcher found out very quickly. Carrying a gun in a purse is a very popular mode of carry for women. However, there are some pros and cons you need to be aware of before doing it. Here are the upsides. 1. Carrying in a purse is extremely convenient. It's always there, and you don't need to buy an extra carry rig or artificially attach the gun to your body. 2. With purse carry, it's possible to have your hand on the gun as you're walking to your car or anytime you feel vulnerable or at risk. Because the gun is hidden inside your purse, no one can see it. This is something that's difficult to do with holster carry. 3. Women are fashion conscious, and purse carry allows them to wear their normal clothing without having to worry about extra cover garments. 4. With a revolver, it's possible to shoot through the purse and into the bad guy without having to draw. Now here is the big downside. As with all forms of off-body carry, it's possible to set the gun down and walk away from it. This mistake can prove to be deadly, as one mother found out last year in an Idaho Walmart. Her gun was in her purse in the shopping cart beside her 2-year-old son. The toddler removed the gun and shot mommy in the head. The mother died instantly. If you are going to carry a gun in your purse, you must stop viewing it as a purse. It is now a gun. When the purse isn't on your shoulder or in your hand, it must be locked up in the gun safe. Failure to follow this safety rule can end with the death of a loved one.
That is a serious lesson that seriously needs to be learned by everybody. Our book giveaway this week is Tony Petticelli's The Marine Corps Way of War. To get in on the drawing, email me, Denny, at frontlinesoffreedom.com, and put the Marine Corps in the subject line. Next week on Frontlines of Freedom, General Arnold Panaro will rejoin us to look at this year in review from the perspective of military and foreign policy. We'll also talk with Ambassador John Bolton about North Korea. Dwayne Evans will discuss the book Foxtrot in Kandahar. It's about the CIA in Iraq. And we'll learn how the University of Michigan's Law School helps vets.
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Frontlines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you or your friends had guard, KP, or other duties that force you to miss any part of this show, hey, all our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on the front lines of freedom. Join me next week for military and veteran information that you won't get anywhere else on the front lines of freedom. Dismissed. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I want to share about an incredible program available for our veterans across America who are suffering from PTS and traumatic brain injury. It's called After the Impact, and it serves our veterans and NFL football players. You know, it all started at the Eisenhower Center in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and is now expanded to a new facility in Jacksonville, Florida. After the Impact provides real treatment and healing in a transitional residential setting. See more about their facilities for veterans and players at EisenhowerCenter.com. That's EisenhowerCenter.com.
This report is brought to you by Sprint. Celebrating holidays and the new year, Sprint and Prince Royce are launching the Live Unlimited The Dreams Academy contest. Interested musicians and bands can upload a video showcasing their talents for a chance to win money and mentorship by Royce, helping turn dreams into reality. Entries must be in by December 31st. Supporters can vote for their favorite aspiring artists starting January 2nd. Prince Royce, award-winning artist and Sprint ambassador.
What's up, guys? It's Prince Royce. My friends at Sprint and I are excited to bring you the Live Unlimited Dreams Academy contest. The winner will receive $10,000 plus an in-person mentoring session with me. Make sure to enter and vote at Sprint.com/dreams and share on social media using hashtags Live Unlimited and contest.
Enter at Sprint.com/dreams now. No purchase necessary. Must be 18. Ends at 11:59 p.m. Eastern Time on December 31st, 2017. See contest official rules for details, including specifics on eligibility and entry requirements needed to qualify. Void where prohibited.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News.
Workers are going to get a more level playing field. That's going to boost wages. That's going to bring more jobs back home.
House Speaker Paul Ryan today in a Capitol Hill briefing. The House is expected to vote on the tax bill later today, followed by the Senate tonight, and then a passage of the bill. The bill could be on the president's desk as early as tomorrow. House Speaker Ryan also says this bill is about helping Americans.
This is about expanding opportunity to people who are striving to make the most of their lives.
Meanwhile, on the other side of the political aisle, Martin O'Malley, former governor of Maryland, he's no fan of this bill.
You know, the fact that they're doubling the deductions for kids, that's all nice, but that's all going to be wiped out by increased costs of health care, increased costs of college tuition. It's like this tax bill is like asking a family at Christmas time to buy a car for the wealthiest guy in the neighborhood in exchange for a $50 rebate.
This is USA Radio News.
Are you wearing contacts or glasses right now? Imagine this, opening your eyes tomorrow to 20/20 vision. No daily contacts or glasses needed. It can happen, and it is affordable. TLC Laser Eye Centers wants to help as many people as possible achieve 20/20 vision, so they're offering a fantastic price on their premium LASIK experience. TLC uses the latest FDA-approved all-laser LASIK technology, and for less than what you might think. Find out if LASIK is right for you. Call TLC now for a free consultation. 800-978-15. 1515. Be one of the first 50 listeners to call today and get $400 off your all-laser LASIK procedure. That's a savings of $200 per eye. TLC Laser Eye Centers has over 20 years' experience and performed over 2 million procedures. Let our team help you. For your free consultation, call now. 800-978-1515. 800-978-1515. 800-978-1515. Results may vary.
The National Transportation Safety Board is on the ground and investigating after an Amtrak train derailment that killed at least three people and injured dozens south of Seattle. Board member Bella Dinzar says they're still trying to talk to those who are operating the train.
We hope to in the next day or two, but unfortunately, all of the crew was hospitalized, so we want to make sure that they feel well enough to be interviewed.
Republican congressmen are urging folks to take a look into a report that the Obama administration held up a Drug Enforcement Administration task force investigation.